There word for diverse in nature, diverse in ability, diverse in qualities, diverse in functions, roles, and that we talk about. And if you ever imagine one of us individually, Christ has given us grace. And each Christ has a point to deliver these numbers. This is why he said, when he ascended on high, he sent many pastors and deliverers to his people. Now that's a quote from Psalm 6. And all of you in here are the word of Christ, and that you will be bound up, but that you will be rose here from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the throne of God. And come with the full authority, the Lord over heaven and earth, the Lord over the earth. Authority to afford gifts or more grace to those who have been brought in the church of Christ. The whole tender concept is dependent on us to a cross-dimension, grow, and engage to a people. So, in other words, when Jesus rose into the heavens to the right hand of the throne of God, he was installed as the Lord of heaven. That's what Paul is up for. That Christ humbles. Humbles out in the home between men, becomes served, and then humbles out even the home of the Lord for Christ. And then we go on to talk to him and get given a name about every name in the name of Jesus Christ. Every name in the world and every group of things that he is Lord. The Lord is our God. He gets turned out for a humbling and then his worship and rest. Now, this talking about Christ ascended on high, and then he ascended on high and took his position on the right hand of the throne of God. Here, he gave us full authority to do this. So, he said in verse 9, what else he ascended to me, except to offer you the more earthly reasons, or all that we implicate here in the word of God. That's why the Lord says in verse 13, he descended, he humbled himself and descended to the earth. It's the very one who ascended higher than all the saints in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ descended in the middle, and he ascended in glory, and with the glory and with the story, he uses the right to do a long time or a long time. I think it would involve all kinds of use, all kinds of religions, all kinds of people, and hurt all the Jews in the circle. It's Jews, it's Martin, it's all the country, it's the new person, and the little one on the word, any ability that you have that you didn't see by God, by Christ, and the world of his own spirit, and the spiritual gift. That you can use within the body of Christ to make more faithfulness among us. But then, in verse 11, he applies to Jesus that we were Christ's more over and this Christ has come to the only true teacher, which is the church. He is a father, prophet, and teacher. What are those gifts? And many people look at them and see they are literally overcoming gifts within the body of Christ. Christ gave us for the building of his body. Now, I want to stop here for a second because I'm not saying that we need to get this. I think it's important for many of us to hear and In various denominations and various groups over whether or not we can have prophets and apostles on the field. And so there would be some effect in charismatic apostles and teaching people in all of the apostles that we can at least have all of the big models that are supposed to be. So there are apostles in first century, we have the possibility for apostles in second. And if we have apostles in first century, we have a popular new prophet today. This prayer is going to be with you on the Lord. I don't hold that view. I believe that the prophet and the apostles are equally unique. All of us carry apostles and prophets from all of us carry together, mixture and harmony. And I believe that the apostles and prophets are respectful and meaningful for the church as he has served as a foundation for the new birth of the church in person. And you can follow that skill for that truth. You can do that for your two months. You can do that for your two months. You can do that for your two months. All that is. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of God's people and members of his household. This on the foundation of apostles and prophets. With Christ Jesus himself at the chief corner. And so, Paul gives the analogy of the apostles and the prophets. In this particular instance, he's talking about prophets. He's talking about the Old Testament prophets. Plus, that word "old" is important. But he's talking about prophets alongside the apostles in the earth. And we have some basic focus on the Old Testament. So there are some first century prophets who are alongside the apostles. But here, he's talking about all the apostles and prophets. Of the church, which is the corner of that foundation. Now, if you have the encouragement of all of if you're building a structure, then what perfect foundation? Well, the foundation goes on the bottom. And how often do you look at that? Only once. You get rock the work and then you lay the foundation locked, and then the foundation is locked. The ground is settled, it's burned, and then from there you build up and place the stones or bricks or if you're doing work, you do the top from the foundation. Well, interestingly enough, I didn't have real focus on sin, but continuing on with Hebrews 2, verse 21, it would become the whole building will be joined together to rise to become the whole people of the Lord. If you see that you two are being built together to honor the values in which God lives by his hand. So, Paul continues to be mentioned, and he calls one of the church. The church is the building. The church is the building. The foundation of the building is the apostle and prophet. This is a church who is one of these two people throughout the churches, but in part of this church, the apostles and prophets are in the church. There's a cross in time, show the apostles' feet. Christ is all shown in the church. The feet is a baton of death before his feet. And then they took the baton and then he should lay the foundation in Christ and Christ in the feet. Paul says, in reading this, and you will know from the but will not make those things better than those things. And that already known by the Spirit, God's only power and power. Again, there is a few functions here. One is the future. They're receiving new revelation. They're receiving mystery that they have not known before. It's a mystery that was given to the apostles and prophets. Well, they looked at the apostles and prophets, but they recruited, they discipled, they mentored, and the gospel was lost amongst the nations, peoples, and asked for peace. The same is true of the church, of the congregation, and the church. And so that's why the rest of Ephesians 4 led to the apostles and prophets. They were successful foundational ministry in early stages of the church, but then the promise of some of the ministry and the apostles and prophets came to the field and asked the teachers to continue on with what the apostles and prophets had on. And then you see more in scripture, the church of Jesus Christ. So, what's the basis? Well, if you remember when the church is the city of the spirit speaker, he goes into church for a week longer of all or a bit longer of all and goes on to that church. And then that's what we know is that he says, we can actually be how the person who wants to have a church on the earth. And since someone who was an awful performer, someone who goes to a community who has never heard it before, is the culture that he was at in the first time, from the gospel meeting, teach them the gospel, mentor them, train them, and then form a conversation with them. And then see it grow. And you see it through the nurturing of the congregation. Another way we see the evangelical community is to simplify the gospel. Taking what the apostles are doing and building on the apostles' foundation and taking this and seeing that work and go on and build on that foundation and not take it off of 2 Timothy 4 5. Or in 2 Timothy 4 5, Paul says, but you, your head and all such things, in your heart, if you work on the table, this is the first of all the things of you. He was there to grow the church as well as all of the churches. And then that comes to the news. Which the office that comes to the community for the people of the church are the ones that are. They are the ones who find the church alone. The evangelist and those that are here with the church there for a while in the church. If they can hear the church, we can gather, organize, and then perhaps move on to attending meetings and work. But the pastor and teacher is the one who is there for the long haul. What he is there is to teach, to help, to feed, shepherd the flock. Pastor has it as your shepherding, teacher, obviously, to be communicating with us, communicating the word of God. These are holy. Christ gives the church to his church. How can you do this? He says, Lord, all earth, heaven and earth. He says, Lord, he says, I will honor you all the things. The Lord keeps you. Keep the Lord in you. And then, he says, to the church, Christ appoints on your church team. And it has seen that the function of church leaders is to equip the people for ministry. Notice in verse 12. Christ gave his leaders, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built. So all of these functions, apostles, prophets, and pastors, or just talking to you through a fitness series, you your vision beyond that mission, through life, all of that. Everything that I've done with you, you will go and get 5, 10, 12, hopefully different. And then that will be a process, and then that will be a process. And it becomes more and more from the Jesus. And I think that's what Paul has in mind when he says, I think you can teach me. Speak out sinful people, he says. Speak out look for sinful people and teach them so that they can be teachers. And so one of the things that I want to do with you, I hope you, is I hope you come to that kind of thoughtful memory. And one of the things that can help us the most in this is to turn our minds right down this wall that we have in our thinking between clergy and lay. That idea of clergy and religion. There's no such thing as a distinction between clergy and laity and all people to do all their needs. And so let's not put the kindness in our minds on confusing the fact that we're about to have a kind of one, but not my different natural most confusing things. My prayer is no more words than your prayer. Let's change the teaching as the actual first prayer of a righteous person. So think about it. So a righteous person, fervent and effectual prayer of a righteous person, that is what others want. And so if I'm helping and training the talking people, one of the things I'm doing is helping and training the talking people to heal people in the hospital. Don't be offended if you know something in the hospital is not bad. Now, I hope to be there too, but it has to be more than me. It has to be all member ministry. So, a bunch of church leaders to hold people from the city in the hospital to support them. So, that lives in here with me. The goal of church ministry. In order for us to be the body of Christ, in order for us to be the church of God, we need to be ministering to one. Ministering with one mind, one purpose, one goal, and here, one faith and knowledge, one truth, one faith. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is speaking from here to the apostles and to the disciples. That gospel. We're being unified around the gospel, proclaiming that gospel, ministering that gospel to one another, is for us. Unity in faith and knowledge. But also, we're urging this in maturity in Christ by character, not only knowledge, but also in character. And when we become mature, we achieve the whole mixture of wholeness of us. The sum of care is not only head knowledge. The
and that takes time. That takes time, and that takes one-on-one blessing. In a way, I've heard this from someone who has a very good book on the topic of getting money, making the taxes, very, very similar to your children. When you're raising children, you're discerning the blessing. It's okay, here is the doctor and blessing. Here is the doctor and blessing. Here is the doctor and blessing. You don't sit them necessarily in your classroom and just say, okay, here's the use of this piece. Here's, there's a place for that. We start at school, but there's classroom, formal education, but a lot of stuff that is modern informal. They were informal. Maturity across the character. Verse 14, you see that on the community's growth and maturity is doing stubbornly in sound doctrine. Stubbornly in sound doctrine is in verse 14. So that you will no longer be able to do somebody using the analogy of childhood. No longer be able to do it. No. And the people that are going to that religion very fast are not just people Christians, but not Christians. Most of their church growth in Mormon church comes from the congregation of Baptist churches. Baptist Presbyterians, others, who are still Jews. So the church needs to be built up so we're not leaving people babies up so that we're having to grow and develop a whole work that is for us. This is what we're doing. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. You can share with one another and send it to one of the not blown around. So it's the ability in their own defense. We also see verse 15 and 16 that maturity needs to happen through mutual ministry that results in mutual growth. Maturity happens through mutual ministry that one other ministry, which also results in one other growth. Verse 15 and 16. So that's speaking the truth of love. Who are we speaking? All of us. All of us. Every member. We will grow to become an ever respected and poor body of people who live as Christ. Everyone is speaking the truth to one another. One on one, this is a mutual ministry. From him, the whole body, whole mutual spirit, whatever the whole movement grows, and builds itself up in love and part of this vision. Just as human bodies are complete, and human bodies need every part to be healthy and strong and robust, so also the body of Christ needs every part working functioning as one, yet in distinguish, but as parts to a lot of different functions, different roles, different roles, different purposes and behaviors, as all of us Christ created by the Holy Spirit, so that we will become one, growing together, maturing together, and truly and so, that's my prayer for our church. And so the main idea that comes to us is that Christ's plan for the church. Christ's plan is that pastor includes all the members from this to be full and grow in unity and unity. And so, why am I preaching these messages in the past about scripture? One, because it's helpful for me. That's a reminder to me is no, the last word is so that it will inform your expectations of moving to pastor and also consider whether or not you're going to be pastor. And so I hope that the Word of God and Scripture will continue to inform us and mold us so that our church will be molded as a church that we use for us. Not according to what we think will work best or what we think will work, but what is in all the gold and trade right now, but for our hearts and the pattern of our church. It's not what we want, not what we want. We follow our hearts with prayer, not only in salvation, not only in our individual life and character, but also in the way that we need to go after this church. That is it. And that is for us. And run his church the way that he is taught to do. And so, let's work together as one.